Hello, and welcome to Dice Masters United. I'm Spug.
I'm Ben.
I'm James.
And I'm Peter.
Coming up in this episode...
Our quest to review every card in the Superman Kryptonite Crisis set continues with a focus on the rares.
Is Barty Allen all that, or will the new Bizarro end up ruling the roost?
And we'll be declaring the winner of the Leader of the Pack's Team Pack Showdown event.
All that and more in the latest episode of Dice Masters United.
Okay, well, welcome back, everybody. It's good to have your company as we continue. Well, the main event in this particular episode is going to be our review.
Daniel.
What are you doing, James?
Sorry, I touched something. I'm so sorry.
I was about to say we'll be continuing our review of every card in the Superman Kryptonite Crisis set. It would appear as if James has got rather fixated on the idea that he wants some sound effects to play if we're taking too long. And he's already jumping the gun, and his fingers are pressing things that they shouldn't be pressing.
Music. Oh my God, it's back! Jesus Christ! I think the app is full of ads. I'm so sorry.
Yes, we are no longer. We are not actually sponsored by a major shampoo manufacturer or whatever it is that James's phone
I'm afraid to actually look what it was. Do carry on. Sorry, this is supposed to speed things up rather than slow them down. Let's get
this
into it.
This is not speeding things up at all. Yeah, well, if you've been with us for the last two episodes, you would have heard us review every card in the commons, every card in the uncommons from the latest Superman Kryptonite Crisis set. Tonight, we're going to be doing the rares, our yellow-striped friends, and there are some good ones here, particularly at the beginning. But without any further ado, shall we get straight into it? And Ben, do you want to go first with Anti-Monitor?
Yes, sure. Anti-Monitor, Vanquishing the Crime Syndicate, a six-cost fist, 155-266-277. Has regenerate. When Anti-Monitor attacks, you may spend any number of fists. For each that you do, give two target character dice plus one attack. I like the fact that it has a good stat line and it's probably going to be impossible to get rid of.
Yeah.
With the regenerate, very difficult. I also like that you can kind of divvy up how the attack stats are. Paying one fist for two pump is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like that it happens as it attacks rather than after your opponent declare blockers, because that could be some shenanigans. Yes. This is okay. I think rather than spending the six, you're better off just buying like an Orion with the same stat line, so similar, and then using pump.
True.
Regenerate is interesting, isn't it? Because it doesn't... The text is that if he would be KO'd, you re-roll him, and if he rolls on his character side, he stays in the field.
Yeah.
Which obviously doesn't get around things like spin downs and that kind of thing. He's decent, and if you can pump more than one character with one energy, then that's
six is just too expensive, isn't it?
It is expensive, though. Yeah.
It's a lot to pay. Yeah.
It is a lot to pay. So a decent ability, but an expensive one at that. All right. Peter, give us Barry, or shall I say Barty Allen?
Yes, Barry Allen, Master of the Speed Force, is a seven-cost fist with a Justice League affiliation. And he reads, when Barry Allen attacks, each attacking character die gets plus one attack and plus one defense for each of your other attacking character dice. And he also has a global, the Bob global. So once per turn, pay a fist. If you purchase a die and fielded a character die this turn, prep a die from your bag.
Yeah. No, I think I've heard this somewhere before.
Something very similar to this. the older players may remember. We had the Bard, which did something similar, but Bard was cheaper. And it was a very different time in the game where you could just basically weaponize your control pieces.
Yes.
This is a bit more balanced at a seven cost, although I do think his pump is better.
Yeah.
Because Bard looked at characters rather than character dice, I think.
Yep.
And this one looks at character dice.
For every sidekick you attacked with, you still only got plus one attack.
Yeah.
Where, or and plus one defense.
You can attack with four sidekicks. And you get plus 5 because Barry has to attack, presumably.
Well, plus 3 because it's different for other ones.
Each of your other attacking characters.
Yeah. So
plus 4.
We all get plus 4.
Yeah, so you minus 1 from X, where X is attacking. This is I've played it a few times now. It's very, 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 very strong. Even at 7 cost. If you can get it out and you can. It is pretty insane. I mean, easy to get your psychics up to 5 attack, 5 defense pretty quickly.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that was bonkers.
And the worst thing, I mean, same thing with Bart, they still didn't learn. The worst thing is the defense buff, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because this creates...
yeah, you can't even knock them out.
Yeah, a situation where they have a wall of characters. They attack, you have to block because you can't take that much damage.
Mm.
And then they keep all their characters so they can just do it next time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the strategic thing usually was block everything apart from the character that's giving the buff, isn't it? So you wouldn't block half-elf Bard if you had the choice. Obviously, the other thing is, because it's a when attacks ability, you can choose the moment of when you want to do it, can't you? You don't have to do it on the turn that you roll him. You can just wait until the moment.
Yeah, well, that was good about the Bard, right? You had all these control pieces that were just while active, just sat there.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Bard out and then waited and then just swung.
Yeah,
get imprisoned out. Those were the days.
Oh, God.
Probably a lot more aggressive, I think. Yes. At least, I mean, the meta currently is just, I think, a lot more aggressive. There's very little time for control pieces.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although Wonder Woman really is a thing. And she stops one attack, right?
Yeah,
she does.
Yeah, the super rare Wonder Woman, which we haven't talked about yet, obviously. But, she prevents when fielded and when attacks, doesn't she? Although she is a 6 cost. So.
She would deal with a lot of problems in the current meta, whether 6 cost is too much for her.
But she can be intimidated off the field, can't
Come
she?
Come back in the next episode to find out our opinions.
Yes, indeed. But it already feels as if, you know, this Barry or Bardy Allen, as we've been calling him, is almost the kind of the must have card in the set potentially. What do you think?
I didn't get it.
I don't know if it is it's definitely really good, but I don't know.
I think it's the best card in the game.
I haven't played around with it.
Best card in the game.
In the game,
yeah, it is.
I said it.
Is it better than Becky?
No, okay. In modern.
Oh, okay. Put that caveat on there.
I think it's
It's definitely one of the best cards.
From the testing I've done, it's either this or Master Mold, and I don't like tokens. So,
and actually,
why not both?
Both.
I mean, okay. Anyway, never mind. I wasn't playing a team with both of them on it today.
And obviously that global is actually pretty interesting too, the one that enables you to prep if you've purchased the die and fielded a character.
Ooh,
you know, we've talked about it before with the Bob ramp. You can see it in action on the video that James and Ben recorded. We'll put a link in the show notes. But it is an interesting sort of stipulation that you normally the prep globals are just play a fist and prep, but this requires you to have done a couple of other things first.
But it's stuff you want to do anyway. That's why I like it so much. You want to feel characters. You want to buy characters.
Yeah.
It's good.
So there we go. We have already had about 8 minutes in the best card in the game. So I don't know where we go from here.
We can skip the rest.
Yeah. No. So, Peter, I'm just going to go. Okay, well, James, we'll come to you then. It's a bit of a case of after the Lord Mayor's show, but we'll come to you for the bat signal.
The bat signal is super carbon arc filaments. It's a 2-cost shield. It says roll a die from your bag. If Batman is active, roll an additional die from your bag. If Robin is active, prep a die from your bag. That's quite good. But it has a global. It's quite important. Pay a mask, re-roll target villain character die.
Interesting.
Interesting indeed. The global is similar to the one that used to be on Magneto from AVX? I can't remember.
AVX.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Mm.
But it differs in some small details, and I forget exactly how it is. Let me just, if I get to...
Well, the globals are really good, but can we talk about the action itself? I've tried to use it a couple of times.
Go on, yeah, talk about the action itself.
I don't particularly like rolling dice from my bag normally. but it's okay. I managed to do it and get Robin out. Roll a die and then prep a die. I find that okay. Getting the Batman out is probably too much. But it's not a bad action to have as some ramp for your turn. Just not in... current modern, I think, is too fast for it.
I mean, you can get Robin out pretty easily, can't you? Yeah. He's only... You can get him for two, can't you, I think?
Two. Set. Yeah. And then he has an ability which makes him a one as well.
So you could get a nice bit of ramp. The previous Magneto, James, from AVX, just said pay mask to re-roll a villain die, so it's effectively the same. Just worded differently.
It's not, though, because you can't target things in your reserve pool unless it states that you can.
Their character die.
The new wording says target, and the old one it didn't. And the old one was ruled to say that you could re-roll both in your field and in your reserve pool, whereas this one presumably can only target things in the field.
Of course you are right, James. Yes.
I'm surprised they reprinted Global like this.
Yeah.
A bit like Parallax Global. Yeah, really it is. But there's lots of good villains. There is
Master Mold
that we talked about.
Yeah.
I will say that there's maybe fewer villains than there used to be because they're using other affiliations. Something I've noticed. I haven't got the stats, obviously, but they have stuff like The Hand for Typhoid Mary and Black Order for the Thanos stuff and the Bridge of Doom or whatever it is. What is it? Yeah. Legion of Thing?
Legion. Yeah.
Legion of Doom. So a lot of the stuff that you might think it would re-roll, it turns out, when you actually look closely, it doesn't. Certainly Master Mold is a good target.
But it's still going to pick up things like Doomsday and General Zod and Master Mold and, you know, some
Dark
of these
Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix, yeah.
I think one of the interesting things could be using it to, if you use Villainous Pact, for example, they want to have villains in their field so they can protect themselves, right? So you can then roll out their villains so they have less blockers. Another thing, Kang as well is a 3-cost, which suffers to this. The other thing is you can make stuff villains with Ebony Maw Global.
You can,
So it's a bit expensive. I think it's a fist and a mask. So you have to pay fist mask and a mask. But basically fist you can roll anything.
Isn't there a healer? Hella Global that does the same thing. Fist mask is the same.
Yeah. But then, I mean, the problem with that is your opponent can do it back to you.
Yes, exactly.
Which makes it's a surprise. It's very wonky global.
But that's why you bring global tax.
Don't encourage people.
No, I'm sure people can mess with this. There are no good Wenfielded villains, are there? Really? I suppose Master Mold. I suppose you could do that on your own Master Mold.
Yeah.
Then you can roll it back in.
Yeah, it's better to KO him.
It's better to KO him, exactly, yeah, because then he generates a token.
Unless you have the rare rocket that has Awaken roll character or something?
Wow, that's convoluted. So you re-roll it from the field using a mask.
People did it with
Awaken rocket. It's not Parallax, is it?
Yeah,
Parallax did it with Parallax, though. Yeah, Parallax was broken.
Yeah, Parallax, you could roll a number of dice instead of just the one, and it would just only cost you the one energy, so it was so much more efficient. And you had more energy at your disposal back in those days.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
You did. But, you know, it's a little 2-cost die. I think this back signal is not
like
that.
It's going to get some play, I reckon.
Yeah,
I do as well.
For sure. Okay, Ben, it's back to you. And now it's Batman.
Legend of the Dark Knight. Should have done the voice, huh? 5-cost fist, Bat Family's super team, Superman and Justice League character. Has the Batman Global, which is pay 2 masks. Each player may field up to 2 psychic character dice, which is interesting, if not a bit expensive. Has expensive Batman stats, and then also has, while Batman is active, when one of your character dice is KO'd, deal 1 damage to target player and 1 damage to target character die. Which is a kind of interesting version of retaliation.
Yeah.
And can be useful, especially when we have the Dark Phoenix Global to trigger when KO'd effects pretty quickly.
Definitely,
and efficiently.
Yeah.
Yep.
could be a really handy form of removal if you just KO a couple of sidekicks using Dark Phoenix Claymore.
Yep.
Get rid
of, or you could KO them. Harley. Was it last time that we mentioned Harley? Maybe the time before.
No, it was.
Okay.
You could also do like a chaining effect of pinging your opponent, right? If you KO one of your characters and then have some one defense sidekicks, you can then just ping those sidekicks and then do it again.
Yeah. Mm. Go pew, 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 pew.
Create like a KO chain.
Yeah,
it could add up pretty quickly.
Pretty good stuff, yeah. Maybe a good one to use with the bat signal.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want Batman out.
Yeah, because he's interesting. I mean, obviously you're going to want to keep a field and somehow you're going to want to keep some sidekicks or stuff that you want to, you don't mind KOing, you know, maybe a collector global that brings in some sidekicks.
Well, I mean, he has his own global.
Oh, of course he does. Apologies. Yeah.
Bring psychic, so it works perfectly. It's a good. I like it when the global is useful for the ability.
He's good. These are good, aren't they? Already.
We need to move on. 20 minutes talking about the first four cards.
Oh, flip. Okay. So Ben, you've done Batman. So Peter, do Big Barda, please.
Yes, Big Barda Warrior, 4-cost fist with the new God's affiliation. She says, during your turn, Big Barda gets +1 attack for each attacking character die. That's a pretty decent stats for a 4-cost, but nothing too interesting, I think, unless you give her Overcrush. But still, you need to attack with a bunch of other stuff, and then I'd rather go for something like Barry Allen.
Yes, but she's only a 4. She's not bad.
She's not bad, but...
We've seen good stuff come in already, and you know, I think if some of the previous cards have been pretty awful,
she was in the uncommons.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she wouldn't still be lurking in your folder, would she, Ben?
She'd be out of it, no.
Yeah, not bad at all. I mean, it's a what was it with the 2-cost? What's his name? Whose name completely escapes me now? The old bloke from War of Light,
Guy Gardner.
Guy Gardner, thank you. Yeah, she's like a more expensive version of him, really, isn't she?
She is. And on that note, she does buff herself as well. So you get a couple of big barders out, they would buff each other.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting. Frightening in draft, probably.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Particularly if you've got some way of removing their sidekicks.
There's just so many ways to get massive attacking stats now, super early. Like,
terrifying.
Yeah, she's really good, but probably won't see a lot of play because they're just way better. Like, why not reach for a Mary Shazam?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Well, James, it's time to look at Bizarro.
Bizarro, Kryptonite Enhanced Intelligence. He's a 5-cost shield, max 1. Once per turn, you may add a Bizarro die from this card to your back. If you do, your opponent takes one of their unpurchased dice and adds it to their used pile. And he has Overcrush. We should note that this has been ruled to be on your turn.
It's a purchase.
Isn't it the main step?
Yeah, basically.
When you can
buy regular dice.
So interesting. Very interesting ability. But it's not quite as powerful as people thought it was at first. I don't know.
I think it's super good. I wish I had it. I don't have it.
No, I don't have this one either.
Me neither.
I would love to mess around with this one, yeah.
It really sort of messes up the whole purchasing curve in a way, doesn't it? Like, it's a complete... throws a complete sort of... what's the word I'm looking for? Throws a...
Buying
a curveball. In the buying order. If you could just buy it on your first turn and bung it in your bag. I mean, it's certainly going to, you'd imagine that it would, if it does become popular, there's going to be a situation where people are going to just make sure they've got some ridiculously big costed die on their team just in case someone's got Bizarro. So they can just buy their own.
That's why this probably won't see play.
Hmm.
People will probably be too worried about it, but it's super good.
Yeah.
I mean, turn 2, you can get an 8-7 with Overcrush.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can just put it in your bag. So on your first turn, even if you're only rolling three dice, you can still do it, can't you? Because you only have to, you just have to prep once.
Doesn't cost anything.
Because it doesn't cost anything. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But it's not as, it's not, the ability itself is not as good as some of the other big bombs, like, well, certainly like Barry Allen that we've mentioned today.
Well, yeah, I mean, the problem is, you're going to use this and give your opponent a Barry Allen.
Yeah, potentially, yeah.
Which, yeah.
Or a Master Mold or whatever.
Yeah. Or a Master Mold, yeah. The fact that it's max one is good.
Yeah.
Except for the Phoenix. Except for the fact that in... I think actually this would see a lot more play if there was a force block. Because then you could keep it. What's going to happen is you get this Bizarro out turn two, and it goes and it goes through. It does a big chunk of damage, but then you're waiting for it to come back around, right?
That's it. Yeah.
I feel like it'll end up being more of a finisher, if anything, because then you don't have to, if you can.
You just need that little extra damage.
You don't have to worry about what your opponent does.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, like one turn before, you manage your bag so that you get it and then swing through.
Yeah, the turn you're about to get your Barty Allen. Like, oh, yeah, you know what? Exactly.
You set up your Barty Allen and then you throw in this overcrusher. Yeah, works.
That's interesting. Draft, though, this card is super broken. And in Golden, oh my days.
Oh, heck. Is there a turn one?
There's a turn two kill for sure. We tried to map it out a little bit, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this is going to be the easiest turn two in Golden, but.
Yeah, it's. There's going
to
be a lot
Need to get me one.
Yeah.
Okay. I
want one of those. Luckily, there's right pants cards coming up, so we can make time.
Catch up, yes.
Good-o. Well, okay, well, in that case, Ben, Blue Beetle.
Close combat expert, the four-cost Bolt Team Titan. Has fast, which is okay. Prevent damage from range dealt to Blue Beetle, which is okay.
And the same ability, basically, as he had on the uncommon, except fast instead of range one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like fast, but not on this dive.
Nah, not for a four cost, and not with these not very good stats. Next, Peter.
Yes, we have Booster Gold, Legion Flight Ring. He says, when fielded, you can swap an action die in your reserve pool with an action die in your prep area or used pile and put the new die on the same face as the one that started in the reserve pool. Interesting ability.
Kind of fun. Sure.
It's going to be hard to line up, but it could catch people by surprise.
Yeah.
Because you could just buy something and then, whoop, I have this now.
Yeah.
Especially when we have a one-cost action in the meta with pizza.
Yes.
You can easily get those into circulation early to maybe fix your bag or something. I'm sure you can work this out so you have the right amount of energy. But then what action are you going to have that's going to be
game winning?
Well, I mean, Living the Dream could potentially be, couldn't it, at the right time?
The one James likes. No, oh, the buff line. One. Frontline.
Frontline, of course, yeah.
Or Hellfire Gala.
Mm. Ooh.
Yes.
I think you need to have bought this action, though. So.
Yeah.
You do.
And, why
you
and just buy the gold.
Yeah. And why wouldn't you just buy the action in the first place?
True, yeah. It's not going to be that much of a surprise, is it?
You can buy it on the turn that you're fielding boosters.
Yes. Yeah, I get that, but you're also paying then one or two to field booster gold. So, and you've already paid four for the booster gold. What I'm saying is you've paid four for the booster gold. Why would you not just use that four towards action you're going to buy?
Just the shenanigans and surprise value and nothing else, really.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, I wish this ability was on like a two cost. That'd be good.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Like we said that about the previous booster gold.
Yeah. Yeah, and if we had bacon, we could make bacon and eggs. All right, so James, Brainiac, please.
Brainiac 5, Kaluan Prodigy, 5-cost mask. While Brainiac 5 is active, your active character dice gain range 1 if they didn't already have range. And he also has Energize, gain 1 life. It's all right, isn't it? I suppose. I mean, but you've got the Shazam, which costs 2 more and gives everything range 2, which is a lot more scary. Even has better stats and better fielding. Brainiac's fielding is just appalling, isn't it? 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's a good ability if it wasn't outshone by Shazam.
I do like that they were a bit unsure about how good it was and were just like, you know what, we'll give it an energized ability. Well, it's obviously the Venerable Dreadnought, which was good. Never quite as good as we wanted it to be, I don't think.
And only cost
mostly
4.
Because of the Black Widow that prevented the...
That's true. It cost less, but you did say last week, Ben, that the difference in this age of Dark Phoenix Global between a 4 and a 5 is trivial. So is it that much worse than Duda?
Venerable Dreadnought.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Maybe not. But Ben, it's back to you and Connor. Kent, this is bound to be.
Definitely. Tactile telekinesis. 6-cost shield. Team Superman. When fielded, roll up to 2 character dice from your use pile. For each energy showing on those dice, deal 1 damage to target character die. For each character fate showing on those dice, re-roll target opposing die. We saw this already, right? But only one of them. The Harley Quinn, when it KO'd dice, similar.
This rolls 2 dice, but
this does 2.
Yeah. But for a 6-cost...
Couldn't process it when she had it, and I can't process it now.
So basically, at best, what you're going to do is, at best, you're going to field Connor Kent, and then re-roll 2 of your opponent's characters, which is okay when you don't consider that we just had Becky, which is a 5-cost to re-roll 2 without this stipulation, and that we have a Pip, which is 5-cost and spins things down.
Yeah, yep.
It's guaranteed. Pants. Move on. Yeah. Move on. Hang on. What does that do?
Donkey, what are you? Okay, Darkseid, Peter.
Jeez.
Darkseid, anti-life equation, 5-cost fist with the villain's affiliation. When you spend character dice as energy to field Darkseid, you may field one of those character dice for free at level 1. Probably need to spend 2. To field him because he's 1, 2, 3. It's pretty cool ability, but it's not cool enough.
It's actually a really cool ability. Like, anyway, I'm not gonna get too strung off on it, but it's really cool.
It's super cool. It's I spend this as an energy.
It's not useful.
I feel it. It's too expensive.
Yeah.
If it was cheaper, it would. Just for the surprise.
But it's very cool to get like if you get energized effects in.
Yeah,
you can use an energize effect and then spend that die and then field it. It's super cool.
Well, on my Barry Allen team, and I have Poison Ivy, I use the Poison Ivy to get some Ivy tokens.
Plant tokens.
Yeah.
Then spend both of those Poison Ivy to field Darkseid. Field both of those, field Darkseid. I've got Barry Allen in the field. That's like, win.
Yeah. But it says, wait, can we just read it again, though? When you spend character dice as energy to field Darkseid, you may field one of those character dice for free. Only one.
Yeah, not all of them.
No, never mind. That's less even. Good.
Yeah. So let's not get too carried away. And let's move on to Dr. Fate, James.
Dr. Fate, incalculable occult power. Jesus, that's a mouthful. He's a 6-cost fist with a mystic's affiliation. When fielded, choose up to 2 target character dice you control, not named Dr. Fate, replacing all previous choices. Your opponent can't target those character dice while Dr. Fate is active. For 6? Excuse me? The previous 2 were really interesting. This feels like it might be more useful in a different meta. I don't know. I mean, okay, you can't get... spun down and stuff but there's not that much off turn. No, I'm just not seeing it. Explain how this is good for 6.
Yeah, if he could at least also protect himself, then maybe. But he can't Because if they can target him and one other thing, then you're basically protecting the other thing.
You're thinking about the Pip the Troll, yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is a really interesting ability, very cool. I'm just not sure it has a place in the current. I mean, we're talking about like really high competitive level play here.
Yeah.
Both Darkseid and Dr. Fate are super fun outside of that.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend.
Is it fun? I don't think this is even fun.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's like just not anywhere near as good as Raven used to be and costing more.
Way more, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, Ben, well, push us on, Ben, with Doomsday, please.
Okay, trapped in Oz's jail, 4-cost Bolt with a villain affiliation has Doomsday stats, 277 on top level, which is good because it has Overcrush. What's not good about it is while Doomsday is active, opposing shield character dice get +2 defense.
Yeah.
And then has the force attack global payer bolt to target character die must attack this turn. As long as your opponent doesn't have shield, pretty good. Overcrush with a 7-7 for 4.
Mm. Yeah.
Very decent. If they do have shield, it's a lot less appealing.
Yeah. But you could force them to attack.
But they can force them to attack, yeah, beforehand. I like it. I don't love it. I think it's in the current meta, it's kind of just an okay thing. There's better Overcrush options, probably.
Isn't that weird? You know, a 4-cost with
7-7
a 0-4-3. What, 2-7-7? And we're saying,
meh.
It's all right. Oh, how things have changed, eh? But Doomsday is generally good, isn't he, in this set we've enjoyed.
He's got nice stats. Yeah. Good in draft, again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we don't talk about artwork, but it's good artwork.
Is it? It's weird
I
artwork.
Like it, yeah. I think it's,
I like
it's
it. Kind of... I like it.
Yeah, it's striking.
I'd like to be zoomed out a bit more, but anyway.
Maybe. And who's Oz anyway? Is it like the Wizard of Oz? Is that the jail that he's in? I don't know.
Ozymandias, I'm guessing.
Clearly. Peter, General Zod.
General Zod, reimagining Yekul, 6-cost bold character with a villain's affiliation. And while General Zod is active, your sidekick dice get +2 attack and count as bold character dice in addition to being sidekick character dice while they're in the field.
Oh, yes, indeed. James is back.
Order reserve pool. Yeah. We've had a ruling on this, which made us sad, but made sense. So it buffs your sidekicks, and in Golden, there are shenanigans to be had with stuff like Lantern Ring, where the added bolt status has an effect. Other than that, not so much in Modern, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really
it's useful because you can attack with sidekicks with bolts in your pool, and each of those, when you've got the Lantern Ring, each of those will do damage according. Each of the sidekicks will also do damage according to the number of bolts you have in your reserve pool, which is handy.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, you just have a few sidekicks. And obviously how easy it is to get sidekicks with Mr. Sinister and Collector and Batman and all those other globals that are knocking around. I mean, obviously, we spoke about this, Peter just alluded to it. We spoke about this in the last podcast where James had recorded a video on the WizKids ruling that said that you could basically use Rush with these bolt sidekick dice but then that ruling lasted just 24 hours before it was reversed.
strike that, reverse it.
Basically, we played it as if it didn't have the word character on the card, right?
Yeah.
I think it's now interesting basically in Golden. I mean, the +2 attack is great, but 6 for that.
The +2 attack is really good.
For sure it is, no question. But to pay 6 for it, I suspect you can get there in other ways. There's also stuff, apart from Lantern Ring, there's stuff like Pyro, I think, which is about bolt characters doing something or other.
When fielded, deal damage equal to the number of bolt characters you have. Yeah.
There you go. And Firefly, I think, is another one, something similar.
There's the Jubilees that just got rotated out from X-Men Forever as well.
Oh, that
do stuff with the bolts.
Yeah.
So good in Golden, maybe not so exciting in Modern.
I'm looking forward to when they reprint this with the correct thing.
Yes, please.
And hopefully they do that before Rush.
Yeah. Let's move on to Green Kryptonite, shall we, James?
Green Kryptonite, Fatal Radiation, 3-cost bolt. target character die can't block until end of turn. If that die is KO'd this turn, send it to the used pile and on the double burst. Also, prep a die from your bag. I would like to see a good Kryptonite. I don't think it's going to happen in this set. So, no. No. Hang on.
Because you can't. On. It can't block. If it said target character. What's that? That's a dolphin.
It's a turkey. Apparently. Oh, I don't like dolphins either.
Oh dear! Target character. If it said target character die must block, then in conjunction with the if that die is KO'd thing, that might make it a bit more interesting.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
But you can't really, knock it out. I don't know how you're going to knock it out unless you've got some clever way of removing it with range or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. There are a few ways. Yeah, if you have a ranged team, I think this is a cool ability. I like the vulnerability better, probably.
Next.
Well, Ben Hollyquin.
Cuckoo for incarceration, 4-cost mask. Has the Hollyquin stat line like normal. When Hollyquin is KO'd by combat damage, put a stun token on any opposing character card. This is okay. Difficult to kind of trigger on will, at will.
Yeah.
There are a lot of big meanies attacking all the time, so I suppose having this as a deterrent, maybe for a master multi, I don't know. It's okay.
Yeah.
Stun tokens are useful, but they're easy to get around.
Yeah, they're not that annoying, are they? They're just irritating rather than game-breaking.
I mean, whenever it says carried by combat damage on any card, it's just...
Yes.
Like, why is it not just a straight when carried ability?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Would be so much better.
Yeah, like, well, our uncommon has a when carried, there's the normal when carried ability, but
this would be too broken if it was just when carried.
Maybe,
possibly,
because you could just stack up the stun tokens. Possibly,
you could.
Only once per turn. It's a 4-cost. No.
All right, Peter Hawk Girl.
Hog Gettle. medieval weapons expert. She had 3-cost mask character with the Justice League affiliation, and she has range 1.
Thrilling.
That's that.
Not bad. But next.
Next it is James Hawk Boy, as I'm going to call him.
Hawk Fella. Endless Flight.
Hawk Chap.
Hawkfella can't be blocked by character dice with a purchase cost of 3 or less. And he has the, what's it called these days? It's not blocked.
Gladiator.
Thank you. Pay a fist when you attack. Your character dice can't be the target of action dice or global abilities until the end of the turn. That's cool enough in a draft, but otherwise.
Yes.
No. Thank you. Next.
Yes, his stats are too low, aren't they, really? With the 0, 2, 2, 1, 3, 3, 1, 3, 4, he's not really going to be that. He's not going to be that strong.
This is probably the Hawkman I would run, though.
Yeah, if you're running him for the global.
If you're running him for the global.
Yeah.
The rest of them aren't brilliant.
No. Yeah, that could be interesting at some points, but generally not that useful, probably.
Not too much calls for the global currently, it's worth.
No, not really.
No, that's right.
There will be, though.
Ben, Jimmy Olsen, please.
Elastic Lad. He is a 3-cost fist with a super friend, super team. Superman team?
Team Superman.
Team Superman. Jimmy Olsen can block an additional character dice. Yep, it's good. The double.
What'd you do?
Yeah, not exciting, but it's good. That ability is underrated, I think.
Yeah but Monsieur Mala is better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He is. The Minky. He is
one more, though. But yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised they've chosen this die, this character, really, to block an additional character die, because...
Well, he's Elastic Lad. Yeah, so Elastic Man and stuff.
But is he?
They have similar
Has he got
abilities.
Superpowers now, then? Has he got
I don't
superpowers?
Know. That's
I
what the know. Subtitle I seems to imply.
Yeah.
If you know your DC Elastic... character people, let us know.
Yeah, he's not just a straight simple photographer no more. It seems he must have some of his own stuff going on. Okay, well that's good. Again, good in draft, eh? Haha. but let's push on with. I was going to say the Joker. It's not the Joker. It's Jonathan Kent.
Yeah. Noble values. I'll do it. 6-cost shield. I can feel a sound effect coming on already. Energize, draw and roll two. Oh my good God. Really? You buy a 6-cost and if you can roll it on a double energy face, you can draw and roll two dice, which will also come up energy, and you can just stop playing right.
Buy another Jonathan Kent and then just keep going. Keep that rampaging churning.
Hang on. There you go. No.
Global?
It is a weird global.
It's a weird global, yeah.
It's pay shield, weird. Target fist character, of all things, gets +1 defense.
That's very peculiar.
Why?
Let's see if we can work out. If you can work out the reason, let us know.
Yeah, indeed.
I'm sure there is an interaction in set that makes sense with this.
He's very peculiar. Peter, I think James jumped ahead of you, and you should have done Jonathan Kent. So I'm going to get you to do Lex Luthor.
All right, Lex Luthor, businessman. He is a 5-cost shield character with the Legion of Doom affiliation. He has range 3, and which is pretty good. And when a shield character die blocks Lex Luthor, reroll Lex Luthor and the blocking die. That is maybe not so great. But range 3 is pretty impactful, I'd say. Is it worth it for a 5-cost? Probably not.
Have we seen range 3 before on anything?
No,
is this the most?
That what is the most? I think there was a Stomper. The Stomper with range 3?
Oh, the Starfire Super Rare in this set also has range 3.
Something with range has to attack, though, to trigger it. And you're not going to want to attack with him with his attack. With his massive attacking stats of 1/1/2. So that means you have to buy another range character, the cheapest of which is maybe 4 or 3?
Hawkgirl.
No, 3.
Hawkgirl for 3. So, sure, you could have a range team then. I'd rather have Shazam. But hey.
Well, yeah, you can just pull you to buy with Bizarro for this exact cost.
Yeah,
that is very true. Yeah.
Moving on.
Okie dokie. So, Ben, it's your go, and it's Lois Lane.
Battle Wagon has a range 3.
It does. Yes,
that's okay. Lois Lane Battle Wagon.
Yes.
Battle Axe.
Lois Lane, Author X, has a 3-cost fist with Team Superman. When fielded, up to 1 target character die can block this turn.
Can't. Yeah.
Can't, that doesn't make sense otherwise. When fielded up to 1 target character die can't block this turn. If you targeted a character die with this ability, Lois Lane can't attack this turn. I think I'd rather use the green kryptonite myself to stop blockers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be better. I mean, you might as well just use the global, mind you. There is a global that basically does exactly the same thing. Pay a fist.
I think there's, but that's a stipulation, no?
They can pay a life. That's on the front line.
Yeah.
They can pay a life to get around it, whereas this one they can't.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I like the fact that she's 0/0/0 fielding cost with a when fielded ability.
Yes.
True. So she could be some early game Dark Phoenix fodder. But as we discussed last time, I kind of like the uncommon for that. Unless you prep
a
die.
She preps a die, yeah.
She might be good if your win con is something specific, which they have a counter to, like the overcrushing stuff.
I mean, you could stop Poison Ivy from blocking.
For
example.
Then I would rather use green kryptonite if I was worried about that, because that gives you some other stuff.
True.
Although characters are more repeatable than actions, so who knows?
That's true, and they also act as blocking fodder, of course. But this is not particularly exciting, is it? So, Peter, why don't we move on to Mary Shazam?
Mary Shazam, Super Buddies, 5-cost bolt character that does not have the Team Superman affiliation, even though she's a Super Buddy. She has the Mystics affiliation. And when fielded, deal 3 damage to target character die, and the next Shazam die you purchase costs 3 less. I mean, the 3 damage is not super impressive. 3 discount on a Shazam die is decent, but still, because you need the 5 cost and then you get the 3 discount and you need to pay 2 to field her, probably. Nah.
Yeah, I pulled this out of my binder, inspired by Ben. I don't know. I quite fancy a 3 discount feels good. I quite fancy a 3 discount plus a bit of Dark Phoenix Global. You know, pick up a penguin for 2. I know you have to buy her for 5, but and the 3 damage is not useless. And she's got the stats once you've then cleared the field with Shazam's range. She's a big body for you.
Yeah, I think if you have a spare space on your Shazam team, you can do worse than Mary Shazam. If you think about turn 3 theory, if your aim is to get Shazam on turn 3, this might not be a bad pickup on turn 2 if you can prep over using Dark Phoenix or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't be.
Step along the way.
I actually watched Shazam yesterday, finally, the one superhero film I hadn't seen. And to my surprise... I quite enjoyed it.
I watched Birds of Prey, incidentally, and that was god awful.
I stopped after about 20 minutes of that.
But anyway, yeah, no, I think this has a place. It has a place in casual, definitely.
Yeah, it sure does.
Yep.
James, Mr. Mind.
He was in it, wasn't he? Library of Eternity, 2-cost mask, mystics, and villain affiliations. When Mr. Mind attacks, you may use a copy of target opposing characters when attacks ability. And what expensive character has a very powerful when attacks ability?
Oh,
that would be
Barry Allen.
So I think that, I mean, that's presumably deliberate and quite good. I think I like that little game. I would, if I needed a 2-cost mask and wasn't going to use Poison Ivy, was that 2 or 3? I've lost it now. It's 2. So, and I wasn't going to use Poison Ivy, and I thought my opponent might bring that. I don't know. That's pretty good. That's good.
Well, the other thing, not just Barry Allen, but the other thing that's, like I said, that and Master Mold are probably the best 2 win conditions.
Oh, Master Mold.
Yeah. And that has an attack. Yeah. So, yeah, attack with this, get a token, get a 5/5 token for yourself.
Mm. Yeah. And you've also got Rare Spider-Man, of course, when attacks. Rare
Spider-Man's good.
Lots of spin down stuff.
Yeah.
Useful little buggy.
And if you play the Rare Bizarro, you can trick them into getting the Barry Allen out and then play this and steal the ability.
That's brilliant.
That's actually not that bad an idea. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they never saw that coming.
I mean, the only problem is you're going to die maybe before.
Maybe.
Wow. You can always hope they whiff.
I also hate his stats.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The 2-1-1 on level 3 is horrific, isn't it? Yeah.
But that's a really playable card and the most playable Mr. Mind card.
For sure. A fan of the weird buggy thing.
Anthropomorphic poo.
Yep.
Right.
Yes. On that note, Ben, it's your go and it's Monsieur Mala.
Mr. Minky. Superior Business Management. He's a 4-cost fist with a villain affiliation 0220232 4/5, which is okay. Monsieur Mala can block an additional character die, which was on the Jimmy, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And then it also has the Monsieur Mala's ability, which is while Monsieur Mala is active, at least one opposing character die must attack each turn. Definitely have this one out of my binder. I'm still a little bit undecided whether the 3-cost uncommon is better with the second ability. I do like the double blocking because I think that is very useful, especially when you're forcing your opponent to attack with stuff. But yeah, no, I like how disruptive that is. I think probably the meta isn't right for him because it is a very aggressive meta.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a lot of wall active effects that you kind of want to mess around with, but I think this is definitely useful.
He could be interesting, but maybe his time has not yet come.
The problem is you have so many also just ways to make sidekicks. The Mr. Sinister, like, you're just gonna just easy to get a sidekick out every turn that you can attack with.
Not so good. All right, well, Peter, let's move on, shall we, to our old friend, the one machine attack construct, I think, if I remember correctly. From last
Something like that, yeah. OMAC, Kevin Coe, is a 4-cost fist, and he has range 1 and Overcrush. His stats are a bit lackluster, though. He's a 133, 133, 255. So
no, we didn't like the Doomsday with 7-7 Overcrush for 4.
Yeah, that's right.
One has also has range 1. So
yeah, whatever.
That's bad.
Yeah, I don't think that really makes up for it, does it? Okay, James Orion.
Orion, Mother Box, 5-cost Bolt with a New Gods affiliation, max 3, for what it's worth. While Orion is active, all of your New Gods characters have range 2. And he has a global pay a fist, spin target character, die up 1 level. That's fine on a New Gods team. I'm not quite sure how many New Gods there are, but...
3.
3. Excellent. I think I'll probably be sticking with Shazam, not meaning to repeat myself, but yeah, sure. It's okay. But I'd rather have his 3 cost, and for the range, I'd rather have Shazam.
Yeah. I don't think that's far wrong.
Well, there's only 2 in Modern as well.
Yeah, in Modern, there's only 2.
But I mean, if you get enough big barders out who buff themselves, they get more range too.
Yeah.
Ton Pretty of fun. Barders. Yeah, okay. Sure.
Yeah. Barder rush, maybe. All right, Ben, Parademon, please.
Programmed to Serve. 3-cost Bolt, villain affiliation. Has Swarm. Has Energized Target Character Die, gets +1 attack. Has the weedy Parademon stats 021, 022, 132. Swarm for 3 costs. Never been that much of a fan of it.
No.
A bit lackluster, really. The Energize is fine.
It's strictly better than the Uncommon, though, because that only has the Swarm for the same cost.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Otherwise, pants.
But still not grand. Parasite is up next. And Peter, it's over to you.
Parasite Secret Society, 3-cost Bolt with the Legion of Doom affiliation. While Parasite is active, opposing shield character dice get -1 attack and -1 defense.
That's pretty specific.
That is, once again, very specific. Not very meta-relevant, I believe.
It's the shield obsession.
Yeah, what's with the shields, people?
Well, it's because all the Team Supermen are shields. And Parasite
not
hates
all
them.
Of them.
Well, the ones that
some of them are
count.
Fists.
Yeah.
No, the ones that might be KO'd by this.
Well, yes, that's true. But
are fists.
The Superman, the Connor Kent, and Jonathan Kent, the ones that are all Superman, are all shields.
Yeah.
Which is the thematic reasoning behind this.
But, I mean, making them -1 and -1 is pointless. Is like virtually not worth bothering, is it?
Not unless you can get rid of sidekicks.
Yeah, exactly. So, James, move us on, will you, with the Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy, pushed too far. 3-cost mask with the Legion of Doom affiliation. When fielded, choose an opposing character die replacing... Oh, sorry. Choose an opposing character replacing all previous choices. While Poison Ivy is active, when that character die... Now it says die. I'm assuming this text is correct. When that character die attacks, field a 0 attack and 2 defense plant token. While Poison Ivy is active, if a plant token is KO'd, target player loses 1 life. Well, that's just way too much text. how can you choose a character and then refer to character die? That's shoddy.
Yeah, that's not ideal, is it?
Yeah, you never choose a character. You name a character.
Mm-hmm.
That's not helpful. Not helpful. It must... One of those sentences must be wrong. Sure, must be the
well,
first
Well, I just mean... Yeah, the first one is you can just name anything regardless of whether it's active or not.
Or does it, though?
Well, I think so.
I think this needs
probably needs.
I'm not going to
use this. This needs a ruling, And even if we get a ruling, it's not good enough.
No, there are better.
It's interesting if there was. Yeah, it could be interesting. It could be cool to name like Barry Allen.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're getting
what's it
going to
do against the Barry Allen?
Yeah.
Too little,
you get one token, and then you die.
Yeah.
This plant will save me. Oh.
I guess so. It's always good to generate tokens.
Yeah.
I thought you hated the tokens.
Two cost is better. No, let's just...
I do hate tokens, but as a defensive piece. On Poison Ivy, I like them. I like the plant tokens.
Okay. Plant tokens are cool.
This one is a good one to throw in front of some crap. But
yeah. Right, no, next.
Ben okay. Raven, please.
Astral Projection, 4-cost Mars, Teen Titans. Classic Raven stat line, while Raven is active, if she isn't attacking, you may have one of your psychic dice copy her attack and defense. Very reminiscent of that one from Yu-Gi-Oh! Sangi the Clown, is that what it's called?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's taking us back.
Saggy, I think. Saggy the Clown.
Saggy, yeah.
What a guy. this is okay, but like, who cares if your psychic has 1, 3, 4, 2, 4, 3, 5? I mean, all right, fine. Yeah.
It's not great.
Not really.
Not for a 4-cost.
No. So let's move on to Robin, shall we, Peter?
Yes, Robin under Batman's wing, 3-cost shield with the Teen Titans and Batman family affiliation. While Robin is on your team, Batman gains a recruit Robin. So this is pretty cool.
And the global.
And the global pay a mask. The first character you field this turn is free to field.
Yeah.
Nothing to sneeze at.
That's a different energy as well. Might be worth
a different energy than the Jimmy. So it's pretty cool that he has a while on your team ability. Because it doesn't need to be active or anything. Just need him on your team, and then Batman can recruit Robins, which is very thematical.
How does recruit work?
character deals combat damage to your opponent, you can field one of those recruited dice from your used or prep.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay. It's not.
It sounds good, but it's not good.
it sounds correct.
I mean, if you ever get a Batman through... And with a Robin in your use file. Well, let me know.
Yeah. Oh, no, because what has Batman got as a global? Oh, the one that feels psychics.
Well, whatever. Okay.
I think the fact that you can pay a mask for the global, I quite like
the
that.
The global's good.
The
super rare is way better. I wish I had super rare.
Super rare is good, but that's next time.
No. Don't get ahead of yourself, Ben. James, can you give us Shazam, please?
Oh, I got it. I lined that up nicely. Shazam, the wizard's successor. 7-cost mask. Speaking of masks. With a Mystics and Justice League affiliations. While Shazam is active, your character dice have range 2. And
range
he has nice
two.
Beefy stats. But he costs 3 to field on the top face. But, you know, there's always Robin. Robin Global.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think... Did I get this one? I think maybe I did get this one. Yeah, I didn't get the earlier ones. Didn't get Barry Allen, but I did get this. And I watched the film. So I'm all Shazammed up at the moment. I even know, I have some inkling at least, who Mary Shazam is. So that's progress since the day before yesterday. this is pretty strong. I played Ben a couple of games and he just wiped my field. I think he got it out really quickly and just wiped my field every single time to the point where I just thought, I can't be bothered to field anything. This is ridiculous.
This is
intimidating in the best possible way.
I mean, the best thing about this and the Brainiac in general, when all your stuff has range, you just attack with like a sidekick.
Yeah.
And it's like I blow up the field.
Yeah.
It's very, very thematic to... not this, to whatever the set was in. Venerable Dreadnought handing out guns.
Yeah.
It's very like shooting guns, shooting weapons.
And it feels to me as if range 2 is considerably better than range 1.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's twice as good in terms of damage output, but
it kills Mystique.
But the point I'm making is that obviously you can knock out 2 sidekicks for every one character that you have. So, you know, whereas Venerable Dreadnought would be...
No, I don't think
split
so.
No, you can't split. You can't split. Yeah.
Ah, apologies.
But you can assign more than one to one character. So if there was, you could easily knock out, if you had 2 psychics with range 2, then you could knock out something with defense 4, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Okay.
And it gets past Mystique.
Yep.
Because she would.
Oh, that's right.
She laughs at range 1.
Yeah.
Mm. But range 2, she dies.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Yeah. No, anything that removes blockers, particularly in such an aggressive meta where there's no way of...
And with massive stats.
Pushing back your attackers. Yeah. Anything that removes...
I particularly like it with the Deathbird. Is it Deathbird?
Yeah.
Which has the uncommon one, which if you carry something with three defense...
Yeah.
That's the combo I'm using currently, yeah, because range two quickly gets rid of defense three characters pretty efficiently.
Two, right, yeah.
Very nice.
We did a video. I'll put the video in the show notes.
Yes. Excellent. So Shazam, another strong contender for best rare, I would say. Ben, Starfire.
Corey, definitely not a best contender. Five cost Bolt, Teen Titans Affiliation. Has range 2. When fielded, target character die you control gains range 2. I think I'd rather use the 5 cost to get the Brainiac, give all my characters range 1.
Yes.
Probably, yes.
Especially with Starfire, 133, 244, 255, the stat lines are not much better than Brainiac anyway. But I wouldn't be mad about this in draft. I wouldn't be mad if you were running a Teen's Titans team.
Yep.
Yeah.
And used it. Yeah. Not terrible, but just outclassed.
Yeah, yep. For sure. Okay, Peter, Starro.
Starro, Mind Control, forecast a shield character with the villain's affiliation. When fielded, send Starro to the used pile. Take control of target opposing character die until the end of turn. Oof. I mean, taking control of target opposing character die is obviously very good, but
yeah,
not him going to the used pile, that is kind of sucky. And you can't ever have his beautiful 7/7 side in play unless you swap him in with something. I don't know. It's gonna be you can definitely have a game winning turn with this, but it's gonna be hard to line up. So it's a no from me.
I think if you have good bag control and good ramp and churn, I don't know if there's enough of that in modern in general.
Mm.
But this could be really efficient ways of just cycling itself.
Mm.
I quite like it.
Yeah, certainly. I mean,
strong.
Grabbing something from you. I mean, we talked about this already, but grabbing a Barry Allen just like that is potentially game breaking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or even winning, a Master Mold, sure. Or a Shazam would be pretty funny. I don't know. Yeah, I think that actually this might be just a good way to. Just a good to include on your team. I like the self kind of. I always like it where you can the when fielded effects have ways to get rid of it out of the field.
Yeah.
I don't like if he KO'd himself,
it would be crazy.
It would be so good.
Yeah.
The fact that he goes to use is less good, but there's Mist-Sinister, there's probably enough ramp.
Yeah,
probably you don't care about that too much.
Yeah.
So interesting Starro he is. Supergirl.
Be fun to play with. Sorry, be fun to play with the mutation.
Yeah, because you can put it back in.
Take control of something and then mutation the thing you just took control of out for Starro.
Can you? Yeah. I don't know. I don't think you can because
I think Starro would be in transition.
Exactly.
Player.
Okay.
rules lawyers.
Sorry.
Supergirl, please, James.
Supergirl, Torkazan Rao. 6 cost shield with the Team Superman affiliation.
That might be how you pronounce it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
While Supergirl is active, if your opponent has more life than you do, draw an extra die during your clear and draw step. Your character dies have +2 defense and gain 1 life at the end of each of your turns. Do your character dice gain 1 life? No, that's just... I knew you'd be thinking that.
Yeah,
sure. 6 costs. It's a whole bunch of great abilities, which we'll never see play, but hey. No.
It's very weird, isn't it?
It's not aggressive enough again, for my taste.
No, and again, anything that relies on your opponent being in a better position than you in order for it to be active is weird.
There was a Lex Luthor from War of Light that did this for a 3 cost, and I quite liked it. You had to draw an extra dice. You could use stuff like the Silver Surfer Global to do a self-damage.
Yeah.
Wasn't it the other way around with that one, that you had to have more life?
Yeah, you had to have more life. Yeah, so you could ping your opponent for something.
Was it called Greed or something? He was an orange lantern.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And there was that Wonder Man or whatever he was from, was it Age of Ultron or something like that? That if you had, if you had less than half your life, you got really big. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Like this. This is fun.
It's so cute.
Yeah, but it's a six cast.
Six a cast. And yeah, let's talk about Superman, Ben.
Okay. Superman, House of L, 4-cost shield with the team Superman. 146, 267, 278. Love that top level, 278. Good deal. Yeah. Then he has an ability. When Superman attacks, target character die has its attack changed to 6 until the end of turn, which is very fun.
Yes.
I've done this multiple times where I bought this turn 2, prepped it round, got out turn 3, attacked with it and a sidekick for 12 damage or something.
Yikes, yeah.
Very easy.
Nice. Did it to me on video. I'll put the link in the show.
I've done it multiple times. It's pretty efficient. And then even then, just giving a psychic plus, not plus, making a psychic 6 attack is just very fun.
Certainly is. And also, you used it, I think, in conjunction with that storm that makes something with an attack of 3 or less unblockable.
You could
We're
do
not
that.
Sure whether that actually works.
No, no, it does.
It does. It definitely does.
Yeah. Yeah. The storm is, when you field it, it's... I didn't use it. I used that with the Dr. Fate. But you could use the same thing where if you field storm, you can make a psychic, for example, unblockable for the rest of the turn, then attack with Superman, then change the psychic to 6 attack. It would definitely work.
Right. Okay.
I like this a lot. It's not quite as strong as I wanted it to be, I don't think. I think there's just so much aggressive stuff. But this is a very good thing. Very nice piece really to have. Cool. A 4-cost is you can get multiple of them out pretty easily.
Yep.
And it makes Lex Luthor one to buy, which is quite fun as well. Because Lex Luthor has some decent stats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And a 4-cost Superman is never a bad thing, is it?
I know. 278 for 4 is pretty good and makes another thing 6 attack is pretty good as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Okay, well, Superman is thumbs up. Peter, Wally West.
No, the Joker. Final death.
Oh, right, yes, yes. Thank you. Yeah.
Every time I win this book.
4-cost shield character with the villain's affiliation. He says, when fielded, you may immediately KO the Joker. If you do, deal 1 damage to target sidekick character die and reroll target non-sidekick character die. And he has the global pay a mask once per turn during your turn. If you have no dice in your prep area, you may draw a die and place it in your prep area. So this I like because you get to KO him automatically. And if you do, it's not even a must. You can choose to. And if you do, you can take out a sidekick and potentially a non-sidekick character die. So this is a pretty decent removal, I'd say.
Mm. Yes, it is.
Very like Emily Moore.
Yeah.
Ebony Moore does something similar, doesn't it? Ebony Moore from
Ebony Moore, yes.
I thought you said Emily Moore. I was wondering.
I thought you said Emily Moore. Moore. I thought, who is she?
That's why I call
her. BBC or something?
That's why I call Ebony Moore on the weekends. When we're dressing up.
Good old Emily. Yeah, no, it's pretty interesting. 4-cost, you get potentially removing 2 characters, aren't you, there, for a 1 or 2-cost fielding. And you obviously get the chance to rinse and repeat the next turn.
Maybe it's not Ebony Moore. What is the one that does something similar? I'll go on an investigation.
Yeah.
This is good. I don't like this fielding cost for all the defense.
Mm.
Although he KO'd himself.
He has self-KO, so it doesn't matter.
He's
but the fielding would be nicer if it was a little lower, but still, it's decent.
Yeah, it's going to be effectively a 1 on every face if you have the Jimmy or the Robin.
Mm. Yeah.
Which isn't awful for when fielded.
Which isn't awful.
How much is, what energy type is the Jimmy Global? If Robin
shield.
Is a
shield.
It's a shield, okay.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, which is stupid because Jimmy's a fist and it's a shield global and Robin's a shield and it's a mask global. But never mind.
Yeah, the Joker, another interesting one in a strong set of rare cards that we've been looking at so far. So let's move on to Wally West, shall we, James?
Wally West. My dad's name was Wally, but not West.
Was it?
K- cast into the Speed Force. 4-cost fist with the Teen Titan affiliation. When fielded, you may send Wally West to the use pile. If you do, deal X damage to target character die, where X is Wally West's attack. If it was to your opponent, I'd think about it. If it wasn't sent to used, I'd think about it. But as it stands, it's, I think, strictly worse than that. What's his name that we just looked at? The Starro that we just looked at. I'd rather send Starro to use and take control of something than knock something out and send my own die to used. So not really. Yeah. It's not terrible, but there are better things to buy.
And with a 1-2-2 fielding,
no,
it's fairly priced.
It's a shame to lose his field presence. Although it does say you may send, unlike Starro, which is where you have
to. Yeah,
that's true.
Okay, I mean, I'll point out that the Rocket Raccoon common has when fielded deal damage equal to Rocket Raccoon's attack.
And he gets to
target opposing character and he stays in the field. He is 2-3-4 attack, whereas this is 3-4-5 attack. But,
And he costs less, right?
And he costs 3 costs and is considerably less to field as well.
Yeah,
definitely. Mm. Rocket every time.
All right, we're on to the final card, Ben, of this particular installment. So it's Wonder Woman.
Yes, Wonder Woman, Ambassador from Themyscira. He's a 4-cost mask, Justice League and Team Superman. When Wonder Woman attacks, your character dice get +1 attack. Global, pay a mask, change the target of an action die, the target's character die, to the character die of your choice. The global is okay-ish. Mm. It's useful in some instances. Whether any of those instances is particularly prevalent in the current meta, I don't know. Good stat line, 0-3-3-1-3-5-2-5-7, particularly that top level. And I like the fact that, one woman attacks, your character dice get +1 attack. We saw this ability on the, what was the one from, the kind of replacement bard from the next D&D set?
Birdsong.
That guy? Birdsong, thank you, yeah.
Oh, good one.
He was okay, she's okay.
There's been a Wonder Woman before that's done something similar, I suspect. It's not a bad ability, is it?
No, especially if you can get multiple out, I suppose. Because when attacks, you can do multiple.
Yep.
Yeah.
So get 2 or 3 of the Wonder Woman's out, +2 attack, +3 attack. Could be decent. I like it. It's probably outclassed by other rares in this set.
But
could also be very strong. It's also probably outclassed by another Wonder Woman.
Yes, almost certainly.
I actually like this rare. I think if I had it, I'd probably build a team with it in.
Yeah. Well, she's good, pretty good value for 4 costs to buff everything in your field, isn't she? That's not bad. Not too bad at all. Well, that is the end of the rare review from us. We are 3/4 of the way through the entire set now, having done the commons, the uncommons, and now the rares. Gents, what is your... How can you pick a favourite? There's been some great ones.
Very easily. Shazam.
Oh.
Hands down. Okay. I know.
James.
No problem.
Boom. Simple. Peter?
Yeah. Barry Allen.
You love Barry Allen. Yeah. Ben?
Yes. I kind of like the Bizarro and the Superman.
Yeah.
But the other two mentioned are also very strong. Those four, pretty incredible. I like the Starro as well. Yeah. Lots of good ones.
I think the Mr. Mind's pretty cool as well, actually.
No, yeah, that's true.
He's
his little turd that can just turn
Barry Allen's the best. Whether that makes him my favourite, I don't know.
Yeah, he's definitely the strongest. Although Shazam is pretty tasty. Yeah, too.
I think he's that.
That global on Barry Allen just tips over for me.
Yeah.
And the Batman, I mean, let's not forget the Batman either. That sort of retaliation Batman is pretty good. For a 5-cost, there's a lot of good stuff in this, and we didn't even mention Bizarro.
I did. Bizarro is the most interesting. Probably.
Good. Well, that's our review of all the rares in Superman Kryptonite Crisis. What's your favourite? Are there any that we've overlooked or underplayed or overplayed? What do you reckon these are going to have in terms of impact on the meta? Do let us know by getting in touch by using the contact details at the end of the show. But with that, we'll move on to our next segment. All right. Well, we have been tracking the last few weeks that Leader of the Packs Team Pack Face-Off event Peter, that you and Rob Pettifor from Breath Weapon X have been running, basically where you've been getting all the team packs and players have been playing them, and they've been fighting off to see which is the strongest of all the team packs that have been published in Dice Masters. And what do you have to report?
Yes, so we played the knockout phase of the tournament, and we had the top eight and the bottom eight face off in the knockouts. The top eight was won by, drum roll, Justice Like Lightning, piloted by our very own Ben.
Yay!
I mean, go, Ben.
Yeah.
And he beat, what's it called?
Radek. Maximum Carnage. Maximum Carnage.
Yeah, in the finals. So that is that's pretty impressive. Most people were expecting Maximum Carnage to win, I think, because of Shriek. But Justice Like Lightning had too many Shriek targets.
Well, yes. Yeah, the Shriek. I mean, Shriek's very good. Also, Spider-Man War of Heart no slouch as a win condition, especially when you have the Captain America Psychic making global. Fortunately for me. Yeah, Justice Like Lightning should have probably been a favorite because it has double the amount of cards everyone does because it has the flip.
Flips. Oh, yeah.
Which I think Nick pointed out. Yeah.
So what were your MVPs, Ben?
All of them. I bought every single one. I think my favorite was the Citizen V.
Oh, right.
Six costs to save my life against Nick's team, which was the Tag Team Rivals.
Okay.
Team pack, which gave all my characters plus one attack, plus one defense, which is quite a simple thing, but very useful. The Techno, which stopped me from being targeted, was good against Distraction.
Yeah.
And then the big two were Ant-Man, and then, Meteorite, which your opponent can only attack with two things, saved my life against Spider-Man.
Right.
The main two were Ant-Man, which is unblockable when spun up.
Yeah.
And the Hawkeye, which has the Psychic Pinging Global, and then also when you field Hawkeye, you deal damage equal to his level.
Oh, handy, yeah.
Those two is kind of attack, combat damage, and then also pingy damage. It's very difficult to deal with for most people.
Good. Oh, so if you can only buy one team pack in the entirety of Dice Masters, then that must be the one to buy, eh?
It's really good. I mean, it is a really good. I was very impressed with all of them, and then there were some cards I left in the binder, which probably also you could have used instead.
Yeah,
that's some pretty good synergy as well.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah,
yeah. Well, yeah, and you got Atlas as well for the global.
Which Atlas, is, yeah. Cheap Songbirds.
Yeah.
The Techno Global, which I didn't even use.
The one that flips stuff to
make psychics bolts.
Bolts, yeah.
Yep.
Very good. All good stuff. So Justice Like Lightning is the ruler. Is the leader of the pack?
Well,
say, the
ruler sort of. I still need to play a final against the winner of the B bracket, which was the bottom half teams.
Okay.
From the initial knockout, from the initial group stages, which I think is Super K, Kim from a double double and Dice, who has Dark X-Men. So, see how that goes. It was a very good, it's very, very fun tournament. Be interesting to do it again with different packs.
Yeah, very good. Or even the use the campaign boxes.
Good. You could also do whoever came first takes whichever team pack came bottom.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
flip that around. That'd be fun.
Flip it around. Yeah. See what that does. Yeah.
James, you've been beavering away not only on videos and getting Dice Fight XL all lined up. We should give that a quick mention, shouldn't we? That's a date to put in your diaries if you don't already.
27th of August.
27th of August. Thank you. It's an online tournament.
All out modern, new modern with just the three sets. And I have actually just today I've sorted out the challenge thing, so I'll be putting that up in the next couple of days. It's basically a month away from now, more or less.
By the time we publish, it'll be way sooner.
wait, yeah. I don't know when this comes out. It's a month away from me speaking now, but probably quite a lot closer to where
you are. More like 2 weeks by the time this comes out.
And that'll be good practice for anybody who might want to go to Worlds, I suppose, or whatever the tournament in America in September is. It's Worlds, right? Is that what it's called?
It is Worlds.
And US Nats.
And
US
Nats. And Nats,
yeah. In the middle of September.
Join us.
Please do. Yeah, all the details. We'll put the link to the challenge page and all the other details in the show notes. But if you're free on that day, it's an online tournament. You just need a webcam and access to the server and you can get involved. It should be a good day. There's not going to be any fee, is there, James?
You're no
not
fee. Going
to charge entry because no fee. We're probably not no going to offer prizes or anything like that. So it's all free and should be max fun. Also, James, you've been producing the guide, haven't you, for new and returning players?
Yes, there was a post in Facebook which I appear to have lost. Here we go. Jacob Arshan Masur, he said, I need a returning player's guide. It's been way too long. And that sort of inspired me to put some stuff together. So I've made a web page with all sorts of useful stuff for new and returning players. Including a description of what's in Modern, where to find stuff about rotation, information about older formats, banned cards in Golden, and links to lots of how to play resources and WizKids stuff like the glossary, which is extremely useful, keywords and glossary page, and the rules forum, and of course links to all of the content creators.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good resource. It's definitely worth a look. So, again, we'll put a link in the show notes so you can go and check that out. But it's definitely strongly recommended for any new or returning players who want to find a bit more information about how to get into the game and get up and running. All right, well, I think that's it for this particular episode. Hope you enjoyed our run through of the rares. Which was your favorite? Do let us know by using the contact details. James, the email is...
hello@dmunited.eu.
Very good. If you've enjoyed the show, it'd be great if you could like, rate, and subscribe using your favourite podcast app. But until the next episode, that is all we've got time for, so we'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.